Dynasty is an overused word in sports. Teams that collect a couple of championships over 3 or 4 years are often given the title. But the true dominating dynasties are few. The New York Yankees won 12 World Series from 1932 through 1953, and the Boston Celtics collected 10 NBA titles between 1957 and 1969. The UCLA Bruins won 10 NCAA men's basketball titles in a 12-year period. But those dynasties pale when compared to the track program built by John McDonnell at the University of Arkansas. During his tenure, his teams won 42 national championships in cross country, indoor track and field, and outdoor track and field. He won more than 80 conference championships. His story is fully told in the new book, John McDonnell, published by the University of Arkansas Press and written with Andrew Maloney. Recently, John McDonnell talked to Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums about the book, his career, and growing up in Ireland. He told Kyle that before he coached track, he ran himself.
Well, I'll tell you the truth, just by accident. I used to play what they call Gaelic football and soccer, and I was pretty good at it, and was raised on a dairy farm. So my younger brother was into the running, so he was out there practicing, and he said to me, I was kicking a ball around, he said, would you mind, or he didn't say, would I mind, but he said, hey, help me run this 800, you know. And I said, well, if you give me a handicap, you know, give me about 50 yards. So everything was in yards back then.
Right.
And he said, okay, I'll give you 50 yards. Well, I took off, you know, like a scalded dog, and he never caught me. And as a matter of fact, he didn't even gain on me. And he was, at that time, top 800-meter kids in the high school ranks. And so he said, dang, he said, I don't have a prayer if you run a race. So about 2 weeks later, I ran a race against the university champion in Ireland at 800 meters, and we ran a mile, and I beat him. And that's where I realized that I changed my sports, and I became a runner.
You write about growing up in Ireland, wonderful stories, and about, what is it, getting peat from the bog?
Yes.
Which, for most of us Americans, we know those words, but you know, we haven't actually experienced what that is.
Well, it's a source of heat. Peat is cut when it's like soapy type mm-hmm. of material, and then dried. And I don't know how we ever got it dry in Ireland with all the rain, but you did the best you could. And once you got it dry, it made a great heating source. It made fires, have a fireplace, and that's how I was raised. We never. We didn't have, when I was a kid, we didn't have electricity until I was about 14. And then we got electricity, and the same thing with milking cows. You know, you had to milk them by hand. And we had to do that before we went to school in the morning.
So you'd get up very early?
Very early, yeah.
When you left Ireland, you came to the United States. First stop was New York City.
Yes.
And you became, you knew a very young Rune Arledge?
Yes, I sure did.
I mean, who later develops Wide World of Sports and Monday Night Football.
Have you seen Wide World of Sports? And how I got to know him was, I was running for the New York Athletic Club. They had a track club. And I was had gone to school for to be a television cameraman. And I was looking for a job. And, of course, it wasn't that easy to get one. And there wasn't that many. So I went to... I was talking to the track coach at the club, and he said, have you got a job yet? And no. And I said, well, you know, Rune Arledge is, he's a young guy, but he's in television, some type of television. He wasn't a big gun that time. And he said, I'll have him talk to you. So about 3 or 4 weeks later, he called me and said, hey, come at a certain time, and his office is over ABC, and over in I forget exactly where it was mm-hmm. now, but went in, and he was a really nice fellow, really, really nice. And he said, well, right now we don't have a job, but I'll put you down. You'll be the first, if something comes up, I give it to you. So in the meantime, I've been working for ABC, WR TV.
Who carried the Mets, right?
Yeah. Carried the Mets baseball. And And I like that, but, you know, they weren't as big an outfit, you know. And anyways, in the meantime, 6 or 9 months went by, and I decided to go back to school. I met my future wife at that time, and she thought it would be a good idea to go back. And Malcolm Robinson, an English guy I knew, was at the school down in Louisiana, Louisiana Lafayette, and contacted the coach down there, and he said, sure, I'll give you a track scholarship. And I was down there about 7 or 8 months, and I got a letter from Roy Aldridge saying I had the job. And I'll always remember, I was fortunate to have met up against some very good people. And my roommate at the time was, it was a kid from Victoria, Texas, Larry McCartney. And he was a sprinter. And I showed him the letter that I was getting. He said, oh, he said, Mac, don't do that. He said, you're hemmed in. Go ahead and get your degree. And then my wife, Ellen, she wasn't married that time, but she said, no, don't come back. Stay where you are. And believe me, I almost came back. But anyways, I didn't come back, and, you know, then I guess the rest is history.
When you came to the University of Arkansas, you were 34?
Yeah.
The track program was fledgling, to say the least. You didn't have a place to practice. You went to the high school. It seemed like you were a very young man. And what was that like?
Well, it was tough because, but the one thing I knew when I ran at Lafayette, at Louisiana Lafayette, we used to compete against the University of Houston, and they weren't in the SWC, but and we compete against some other SWC schools, and Houston was good, very good. But I knew that if I ever got into the Southwest Conference, I could win. I could coach and win there because they just didn't have the really good athletes. And that's why I when Ed Renfro gave me the job here, I said, hey. And he gave me in charge of the cross-country team, which was good. I could go and get my own guys. Mm-hmm. And within 2 years, we had won the conference championship from that and won one before since 1956.
What inspired that confidence that you could come here and get a conference championship in 2 years?
Well, I tell you, I had the English guys was there with me, Malcolm mm-hmm. Robinson and myself. The coach was a great motivator, but he didn't know anything about distance running. And he knew that we did because we were both qualified for the Olympics. And he left it. He said, hey, whatever you're doing, I don't understand it, but whatever you're doing, keep on doing it. And it was great because we had a fair idea. Of course, we made plenty of mistakes, too. It would have been better if we had a really good distant coach. Both of us may have gone further, you know. But we thought the one habit we had was we always thought more was better. Well, not necessary.
You're talking about training and mileage? Yeah.
We used to run too hard, and we were probably equal in talent. And we used to run one another's into the ground and trying to get better, of course. Mm-hmm. And we'd always get hurt. One of us would get hurt or something, and then the other guy didn't have a training partner. But we helped the other kids that were on the team. And when Malcolm left after my first 2 years there, then all the young guys that came in sort of hung on and did what I did. And they improved tremendously because they were anxious to get better. And they'd do whatever I was doing, they'd do. So that's when I realized, you know, this is more in your head than it is anything else. But I had learned from my own mistakes, too, that not to do, back it off a little bit.
But still, I mean, you're coming to a program where they're having to, didn't they have to practice the shot put inside Barnhill Arena?
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't have facilities.
No, we had no facilities, and it was a tough goal, but, you know, I figured if you could start with distant runners, and you didn't have to have an indoor facility for them.
Right.
But for sprinters at that time, it was tough. And Ed Renfro, the head coach, was a hurdler himself in college, and it was tough on him. And, of course, then I think 6 years after I got here, he quit and got out of it.
It's interesting how many of the people that are interviewed in this book, which is John McDonald, talk about the team concept and how you built the team concept. And, you know, I think for some of us who are outside of the sport, we see it as individuals. This is the person who does the triple jump. This is the person who does the distance. This is the sprints. But you, once you had success, you had these guys, often 18, 19-year-old kids, buy into the team concept.
I did, and I tell you, I patterned myself after other schools. I looked at that time, was the great track powers was Villanova, Oregon, Texas at El Paso, Kansas. And I watched, I just looked at what they were doing, what type of people they had on their team. And they were always winning, because the team championship was the most important one, because everybody could have an individual. And I studied there where they positioned their athletes, and every one of them had one thing in common. They all had very good distance runners and field event guys. And there was a few of them that had a few sprinters, but not many. So I figured, well, there had to be something to it. And the thing was that, as it turned out later in life, and studied more about the jumpers and all the different events besides the distance, that they were more consistent, mm-hmm. and they didn't get hurt as much. And that's why I went that route.
It's interesting because early you get Niall O'Shaughnessy to come here.
Yes.
Because you had to be a recruiter too. Not only are you a motivator, not only are you a coach, not only are you an administrator, you've got to go out and you had to convince some of these guys to come from a long way away to a pretty rural part of the world.
Exactly. Like Niall O'Shaughnessy, for example, that was the first year I was here. I couldn't get anybody. And I did. I got one kid. But the next year I went over to Ireland and I went into Niall O'Shaughnessy's home. And, of course, they were well-to-do people. The father was a vet and the mother used to ride in horses and show jumping and all that type of stuff. So they weren't poor people at all, by no means. Trying to sell him on, first he asked me some great questions, and he was only 17 years old at the time. And he said, I want to tell you one thing. He said, well, I want to tell you why I'd go to America. If I go, my education is going to be number one. Runner's going to be number two. And then he said, number three will be my job when I finish my schooling. And I thought it was amazing from his 17 years old. And that's exactly what he did. Hmm. And of course he, again, I guess, they say the luck of the Irish. Well, he wasn't a great high school runner, but boy, did he ever turn out to be a great, he was a world-class miler. And he was the catalyst that started our program.
On tomorrow's edition of Ozarks at Large, John McDonald will talk about the dynasty years at the University of Arkansas. The book, John McDonald, is published by the University of Arkansas Press and written with Andrew Maloney. He'll discuss the book and sign copies Thursday, March 7th at the Fayetteville Public Library at 6:30 p.m. And again that Saturday morning, March 9th at 9 a.m. at Hog Heaven inside Bud Walton Arena. He talked to Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums earlier this month.